All right. Dexter Gordon with Tanya, composed by Donald Byrd and interpreted by Dexter Gordon on tenor sax, along with Art Taylor on drums, Niels Henning Orsted Pedersen on bass, and Kenny Drew on piano. This is from Dexter Gordon's 1965 album, One Flight Up. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and we kind of revisit where we started and left off yesterday as the Republicans get ready to close out their convocation, their great convention. And if you remember it, I raised a question that there is a something happening, and it will become more and more pronounced the more confident the people who are involved in it feel that, you know, the timing is just right. But for now, they're still holding back, not going full-fledged yet. But they are going to be closing out their convention. And this is when the pace picks up, the pace between Joe Biden and Donald Trump for the presidency. But I had raised a question, is something else happening here? And what do I find in a headline today? Very interesting. The headline basically says that Trump is the only guy, the only one, the only person on the planet who can deliver the United States out of chaos right now. Yes, that's the headline today. Donald Trump is the only one who can deliver the country out of chaos. And so there is this pleading going on to please, Mr. Trump, please, to the rescue of the nation. Let me read a little bit of the synopsis that I saw on Yahoo News. Republicans insist only Trump can stop this chaos. Only Trump can stop this chaos, says the headline. But he is in charge now. So I don't know what the headline inevitably means, but let me read some of this to you because it speaks directly to what I was talking about yesterday. The America that many speakers described Wednesday at the Republican National Convention did not sound like a desirable place. Fractious, violent, functionally lawless in some pockets. But their case that only President Donald Trump could shield Americans from this fate was complicated by a nettlesome fact. He is in charge at present, at the controls of the government through the purportedly real-time conditions these supporters outlined. And they would all like to keep him there. America, Vice President Mike Pence told a Republican convention crowd sternly from Fort McHenry in Baltimore, needs 4 more years of President Donald Trump. The third night of the Republican convention steered into a bit of message jiu-jitsu that has become a dominant theme of the week. Trump's ability to turn back Trump era ills that have, in this telling, been largely out of hands to date. And so the president, the argument has gone, can be relied upon now to safeguard Americans against the threats they see coming all around them in the nation that he leads. People that can't afford to flee have fled. Governor Kristi Noem of South Dakota said of cities like Portland, Oregon, and New York. But the people can't. Good, hardworking people are left to fend for themselves. And it goes on. But I read you the gist of the article. It's a pretty comprehensive article, but essentially it says Donald Trump has emerged as the only person, the only viable person that can be looked to at this time, given the social, political, and economic issues plaguing the United States, to lead the country. He is the savior. Well, we talked about that. How is it that he has emerged as, in the view of many, the savior of the United States right now? How did that happen? And I did raise the possibility, didn't I, that there is an underground movement here where Trump is concerned, and that is to elevate himself precisely in that position. And the convention, the Republican convention, kind of gave the final opportunity to bring it all together, to make him the leader, when in fact what he is working on is consolidating his position. As people would say, he's a leader, but he sees himself more like the owner of the United States. And he's consolidating his assets. He's moving in a way to bring it all together under one roof. This convention gave him the opportunity, and perhaps the best opportunity that he's had in a long time, to prove exactly that point. He has taken, whether we wish to acknowledge it or not, he has taken the Republican Party. And he took it, and there wasn't even a fight. The Republicans, who were the leaders of the party, they walked away. They didn't even put up a fight. I've never seen something like this. They literally gave it to Trump. No fight. Oh, yes, they had news conferences and they talked about how wrong it was and how wrong he is for the nation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is this. This should have caused a major upheaval in the Republican Party and a major fight. It's not Trump's personal possession. But they didn't put up a fight. They walked away. They said, okay, you could have it. I've never seen something like that. So he is the de facto leader of the Republican Party. So among his new acquisitions is a political party, And what is the point of a political party? It is influencing national opinion. It is having a conduit to receive millions and tens of millions of dollars in funds to, how should I put it politely, to advance the causes of the party. So he has the party. He has commandeered the party without opposition, no fight. So he now adds to his collection a political party, one of the two major political parties of the country. He's now a bona fide political leader, not just on the national stage, but on the international stage as well. So you can see how quickly he just brushed aside the political leadership that was there. He is now the political leader, and people have acknowledged it. That was one of the final pieces that he had to put in place to take everything that he could off the table and arrogated to himself. Mind you, this is not growing to an alternate group or organization. No, he's taking it all for himself and his family and his friends. He has set up his own parallel structure. So he doesn't need to consult politicians anymore. He doesn't need to consult the Republican Party. He is a party unto himself now. And as I predicted, by the time this convention shuts down later today, he would have had a whole bunch of assets that he would now be in charge of. It wouldn't be a far-fetched thing to say that he would now own that will be used specifically for his interests and the interests of his family, et cetera, et cetera. But money and power are at the base of it all. And people are still out there arguing about things, and they didn't see it. They still haven't seen it. They still haven't understood what has happened here in 4 days. They still think this is about a political convention. And they're waiting for the debates between Joe Biden and President Trump. They're waiting for the fight. The fight has already been won. Wake up and smell the coffee. Trump has won. He may not have won what people think he should have been caused to fight for, but he wasn't fighting on anybody else's agenda except his specific agenda. And in that regard, he has won. When leaders of an august body called the Republican Party, with all the fuming about what is going on, what is this, what is happening here, this is not democracy. Did you expect it to be? It's about him. How could you possibly expect democracy when it is absolutely focused on him and what he wants? That's not a democratic exercise. And yes, he's there. He'd make a speech and he'll show up at different venues and so forth. But you look critically at what was accomplished. And it had nothing to do with this convention, really. He presented his people who he put in place and who will follow his orders about what he wants accomplished. And the rest of you will just have to go along. That's the thinking. A despot was born in 4 days. And nobody saw it coming. They still don't know that things have changed. They still think about the United States as being a two-party country and all of that stuff, and there we're going to have debates. And there is no, as far as he's concerned, there's no need for a debate. He's already won. Totally. He has won so big, as I said, the leaders of the Republican Party literally gave up the ghost and walked away without a fight. I've never seen something like that. Never. You're supposedly fighting for the soul of your party because you believe so deeply in your party and what it stands for and what it has stood for all these years. And here comes this vagabond from wherever he came from, and he has taken it. And worse, you've given it up. I marvel at this. I haven't seen any analysis of this in media. They haven't caught on yet. I can't believe nobody has caught on yet. But anyway, we will return to this discussion and finish it off. We started it. We're going to finish it. At 888-874-4888. There might be some of you who think that I'm being over dramatic or completely wrong. I'd like to hear especially from you, because Lord knows I don't really want to be the only person out here who's seeing this. I don't. But I feel to myself like, am I on a parallel universe of some sort? Is this really happening where everybody could see it and still not acknowledge it? What is happening? In fact, what has happened and will continue to happen? The birth of Donald Trump's personal country, of which he's the head man. So now he has the armed forces. He's got the civil service. He's got the economy. He's got it all in his pocket. He controls all of it. He's got Congress. What more do you need to be a good and proper despot? You don't need anything more. People are fighting among themselves. They're shooting each other and whatnot. Chaos. He's not being chaotic. He's focused and he's accomplishing his mission. He has accomplished a great portion of it already. But when you see the leaders of the Republican Party, these stalwart individuals, just giving it up. So we're not going to fight. We have no fight in us. We're just walking away. You do what you want. We have certainly reached a pivotal point as a nation. 888-874-4888. Let's hear your thoughts. I'm going to go to this page now, and I wait hearing from you. Okay, Ed from Jamaica, you're on the air.
Hello, you three. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. Fine, thank you, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm okay. You know, me and my thumbs. That being said,
hanging in by both thumbs.
Hanging on. I thought about what you said yesterday as the question, and I was a little sidetracked. I thought you were talking about something completely different. But I'm going to disagree with you on one point. Basically, Donald Trump didn't win a victory. Nature abhors a vacuum, and he just stepped into the vacuum. I mean, ever since the days of the Reagan Republican, both parties have lost their identity. They don't have conventions where platforms are laid out, where a party doctrine is put forward. Since the days of Clinton, it's been the cult of personality. Why did Clinton win? When did Clinton get his biggest bump? When he played the saxophone on Arsenio Hall's show. When did Bush get his biggest bump? When they do public things. People are not. There used to be a commercial in New York called with Cy Sims. Educated consumer is our best customer. We got low information voters who go by, I like this guy or I don't like this guy. When you can't like or dislike anyone when you don't even know them. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't dislike Trump. I dislike the things that he does, but I don't know the man. I don't know him too bad like him. So like doesn't enter into my decision-making process. Like Helen Caldicott said, the record, the record, the record. What are you doing for me as a politician to improve my quality of life here? So the Republican Party had no leadership. The Newt Gingrich, the contract on America, that was the last type of realistic leadership in the Republican Party. They're just a bunch of old rich men who are wandering around playing politics. And he saw the vacuum and he filled it. He filled it with his family. He filled it with himself. He filled it with his personality. He's a total political novice who got elected to the highest office in the land. And I don't see that as a victory. I see that as he's the ultimate opportunist. If you look at his history, yes, he maximizes tragedy and uses it to his advantage. He's a poverty pimp, in my opinion.
Call it what you want, Ed, but it is, in fact, a victory. Yeah. I know you're uncomfortable with words. Here's the thing. You could call it what you want.
Yeah.
But here is evidence that a bloodless coup has taken place. This man has methodically set about capturing the pieces of his puzzle. I want this, he got that. I want this, he got that too.
Yeah.
And there's been no fight. There's no public debate. There's been no public gathering against Trump on this regard. No. He went ahead and did it. And they let him. This is the thing that gets me. They let him do it.
Because they don't care anymore. They've gotten what they wanted. They're comfortable. They're not going to hurt. They're not where I'm at. They're not where you're at. They're not with the common people anymore. They're above that. And they're tired and they're old. And they've decided, hey, he's here. Screw it. Let him have it. We'll be all right. We're covered. It's a global view of the world now. Nobody cares. They don't care about the party. They don't care about the grassroots political stuff that back in the days of Lyndon Baines Johnson. You're looking at this with an old eye. New politics is get the bag, take care of yourself, and screw everybody else. And he's He's the ultimate personification of this. That's why he's successful.
So you're saying that in this whole scenario, there's not even one small group that says, we're going to stand up against this guy and we're going to fight face him and fight him. We're going to force him to publicly acknowledge what he's after. And we're going to expose him. And we're going to defeat him. Didn't you expect that this is the attitude that they would have?
No, I don't expect it because they don't care. When you don't have any skin in the game, when you gamble, you got to have some skin in the game. If you're not going to lose anything, if there's no consequences for adverse or wrong action, then you do it because you got nothing to lose. These people ain't got nothing to lose. If he's in power, if he's not in power, they got nothing to lose. Look who the opposition is to take on Joe Biden. Come on, that's the best you could do out of your Democratic talking on the other side of the same coin. Come on, this is not even real. I mean, it's surreal. It's like a crazy Salvador Dali movie. A weakling against another weakling. It's a joke. I mean, if it wasn't so pathetic, it would be hysterical. But it's a joke.
So why haven't people caught on to this? I mean, it's there in front of your face, and you still don't get it, what has happened?
Well, I'm going to tell you from my perspective, from the circles that I travel in, small though they may be, a lot of people are just tired, man. I mean, this is the young people's fight. I tell my nephews, I tell my stepson, I tell, this is y'all fight. Y'all got to get educated. Y'all got to get ready because these people are going to leave you a mess. I'm trying to leave you something, whatever I can do, you know, monetarily, leave them something, educationally. If they ask me for my opinion or my knowledge, I tell them, look this up, look that up. Just don't take my word for it. Get educated because the mess these people are going to leave here, I feel sorry for you. I feel very sorry because you're dealing with some sycophantic people who are selfishly fulfilled their needs. And now to me, this is a joke. And they're looking at it like a joke. I mean, you have a man with no political experience come and just whole house your party. And you didn't even step to him. You didn't even say, hey, what are you doing? He took over your whole convention. He had his wife speaking. He had his wife, his daughter-in-law, his aunt, his freaking wife. I'm surprised the dog ain't say something. I mean, come on, it was a joke. It was the Donald Trump show. And it reminds me, like I said, I'm an amateur historian. It reminds me of the Wehrmacht fire. It reminds me of the Hitler brown shirt rallies. That struck a chord with me, this whole thing, when I could tolerate watching some of it. That's what it reminded me of. This guy is the chosen one. He's the Messiah. I mean, come on. Things can happen. It happened in Germany overnight. The common German people, after all said, then they said, you know, we really didn't know what's going on. We just went with the flow. And it's the same scenario. A beaten down country, division within the country, and a charismatic dictator leader comes up and preaches. That's what Hitler said. Let's make Germany great again. That's what I'm saying. That's what I tell
you. Thank
you. Get it together and pay attention. Pay attention. Pay very close attention.
We certainly have to pay attention. We absolutely must pay attention. And that is one of the things that I've been looking at, the fact that people are not paying attention. All these clues are right in front of your face, and we still can't see them. So there's something wrong with us.
I think it's they're tired. I mean, everything, the economy, working, I mean, you know, the coronavirus, all these things wear on the psyche and don't give you the opportunity to reflect on what's going on. And that's what the system is designed to do. That's what the powers that be want. They want to keep you caught up in the minutiae so you can't see the big picture. And that's what I think. People are just, they're burnt out. They're burnt out. And sorry, but, you know, that's why they were acting violently. Burnt out.
All right. Thank you so much for getting us started today. Lincoln from Yonkers.
Mount Vernon,
sorry.
Yeah. You keep wanting to put me in Yonkers.
I don't know why.
Something about young kids. Yeah, Yuchi. So, hello, how are you?
Okay.
I see it from this point of view. You see, what you call Trump taking over, it's really a result. We are responsible for this. The so-called Democrats and the so-called progressives. And what you're discovering is the ability of this guy to really function like a really astute gangster. And I'm not saying it in a, I'm not saying it to demean him in a vituperative way. When they try to overcome him, when they try to overthrow him, you remember when what the CIA and the FBI said? You can't mess with us. But they found out that this guy is shrewder than they really thought. All the people who were calling him crazy and saying he has psychological problems. I want to show you something. His brother, his favorite brother, just died. And look how this guy is still functioning. Like he hasn't missed a step. So, you know, a lot of, and both parties are not concerned about the people. The Democrats are not concerned about the people. And that's one of the reasons they are responsible for Trump taking over, too, because they were focusing so much energy on a coup, on overthrowing this man, that they were ignoring all the important things. And we, too, the people who were trying to overthrow him because we dislike his crass ways, rather than paying attention to what is this guy really doing. We should have been focusing on his approach to Venezuela when he said something like, let's take the Syrian oil. Then we should have been focusing on what happened with the trade deal he created with between Canada, Mexico, and the USA, what he did with the HBCU, et cetera, et cetera. And, but we were all distracted, nothing. He did not set out to control the party like you saw him doing now. But what happened was because he's so shrewd, he said, okay, I'm going to survive. And what occurred is a result of his ability to survive. It's not what he had set out to do. You know, it reminds me of once I was in a situation and some people were trying to harm me and I played a game and I, you know, turned it around on them, a boomerang, you know, and that's what he did. This guy is a master of, he's a master craftsman, you know, but because he doesn't sound fancy, he doesn't use the Harvard language, etc., you're missing him. Just like how they missed Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson is a brilliant man. I don't agree with him, but because Jesse Jackson doesn't sound like Obama, people don't realize how brilliant Jesse was. You know what the record said about Jesse Jackson? They said he's the first man, first person to bring a debate, a true debate, to the political arena when running for president. And if you look at it, if you look at all of Jesse's speeches when he first ran, the guy is brilliant. And if you look into his history, scholastic history, you know, no matter what you might think about him, he is still a brilliant man. And it's the same thing with Trump. You see, sometimes we tend to want to look at people. How well did you score in high school, et cetera, et cetera? Look how many dropouts from colleges we have who did great things. And that's, we're judging them incorrectly. Obama and all these people with all their Harvard degrees, did they stop homelessness? Did they stop, did they introduce things like free healthcare, et cetera? Look at people like Gaddafi. They don't come with no fancy language, but they come with a plan. And the plan is to liberate the people, to free the people. And none of them, whether the Democrats or the Republicans, and we get caught up in all the semantics and pointless semantics. And I think, and that's why he is where he is. We are to blame. You got to look at it plain, you know, clearly. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening to you.
I mean, so that is my analysis of your take. I think we need to look at that part. Look how many people say, he's crazy, he's crazy. Look how he has survived.
But I'm not saying, I'm not alleging anything more than I had said from the beginning. Donald Trump is most unusual. There's no question about that. But that was not my point. My point was that here's a person who, within the span of 4 days, by the time the doors close on this convention today, he will have within his possession proof that he's now the leader of the Republican Party, and he has taken certain initiatives where he has planted his people in strategic positions, and they are in control of a bureaucracy, a multi-trillion-dollar bureaucracy. He has added to his collection. And all I'm saying is we are missing the point. We have missed this. We have missed the fact that the Republicans have not even put up a fight. They walked away. They said, they threw up their hands and said, okay, it's all yours. When did you see this kind of stuff? Excuse me. When did you see this?
I want my response to you to remember his speech after he survived the Ukraine thing. His speech to the Republican Party, when his address to the Republican Party, he had them in the palm of his hands.
I don't care whether he had them in the palm of his hands or he had them in his back pocket. The fact is, it is now. Do you deny or do you debate the point that he is in charge?
I don't think he's totally in charge, because if he was totally in charge, he would be telling the truth about the coronavirus. He would stop calling it the China virus. Because that virus.
Well, it's called, you know why he's calling it a China virus. He's a racist.
No.
He's
doing that because of the economic battle between China and the USA. That's why. It's not because of racism. This is about the.
No, he's a racist.
No,
and he keeps repeating
what
is China virus.
Between him and China
virus.
Economic battle.
No, but wait a minute.
They realize that
when he calls it the China virus. He calls it the China virus because that is his way of anchoring the issue within his base.
So what you say about the Spanish flu? They call the Spanish flu the Spanish flu.
Yes, because...
What's the difference?
It was from Spain.
And that's why he calls it the China virus, because they told him it was from China.
Listen. Why didn't he call it Wuhan, which is more specific, which is also in China?
Why didn't they call it Madrid?
Well, here is we not look. You're arguing for arguing's sake.
No, you cheese. We're in the ring. And let us face it. We're in the ring.
The point is, he knows better, but this is what he does. He uses these things to, you know, stick pins in people's skin to get them irritable. And he also gets attention because people are so outraged that he's so crass and tacky that's the way he chooses to see things. And it also speaks to his need to be the one to define things. He wouldn't call it the Wuhan virus. He'd call it the China virus. So
I think what's worse is the fact that the whole Fauci, et cetera, is telling a lie that it came from there. That's what we should be concerned
we
about.
We are not
we
discussing that. You always go off on tangents.
No, I'm not going off on tangents.
As close as possible to the topic we're talking about today. There's a reason he calls it a China virus. He's been told it many times that it is it's a source of irritation. And that's exactly what he's doing it for, to irritate people and to get attention he knows better, but this is how he gets attention, by being a jerk. You know how many evils in this world that could be called the American this or the American that? But it doesn't happen that way. But he is a jerk.
Of America.
So
I call it that way.
So anyway, we have the phenomenon now. It's very clear, I hope. Is it clearer to you than when I was talking about it? That
I see what you're saying, but I think that we must deal with what caused it. You know,
I'm not interested in the cause right now.
You're just talking about
the fact of the cause. No. You can't tell me what I'm supposed to be interested in. I'm interested in the fact that I have looked at this and I have seen what has come of it. He has moved in a very methodical way, and he has achieved his objectives. I don't think there are any doubts about that. He has achieved his objectives. And in the case of the Republican Party, without even a fight. I mean, they didn't even put up a fight, not even a symbolic fight.
Okay,
before we leave,
I just want to just give you something to ponder, okay? Think of this. All the doctors, even on the Gary Noel show, they're showing that this hydrochloric, whatever, I always can't pronounce that thing. When Trump suggested it, everybody got mad just because he suggested. Now it's showing that if they had listened to that, they would have saved
thousands of lives. Don't take us there.
So many of the thousands of lives that we lost.
No. We're not going there. We are not going there because that is wrong. And we can get into that conversation, but today is not the day to do that. Today is a day to acknowledge that as this convention comes to a close, Trump has prevailed. Trump has triumphed. In that he has gotten exactly what he wanted to get out of this, and that is to rise above it all and lay claim to some of the prized possessions of the Republican Party. Thanks so much for calling in. Mookie from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Greetings and salutations.
Thank you.
My professor. Our professor.
Thank you.
Now, J. Edgar Hoover didn't just blackmail people for sexual misconduct. He blackmailed them for financial reasons. He had a lot of dirt on people that had nothing sexual on their agenda, but were involved in white-collar crime. So who does the FBI work for now? Donald J. Trump. Who was Trump's mentor? A guy named Cohen. Was it Roy? I get the Cohens mixed up a little. But this particular attorney, Cohen, worked directly under a fellow named Meyer Lansky. So I'm putting forth the idea that why did the Republican Party simply walk away? I think for the same reasons or similar reasons as to why the Democratic Party gave him everything he wanted. Tore up speeches, you know, made grandstands, but gave him everything he desired. So here's my thesis, Utrice. They walked away without a fight at the convention, and in every other arena leading up to it, because Donald J. Trump has acquired all the FBI's information on financial corruption and sexual misbehavior.
Now, when you say that, where is your proof of that?
Well,
just prognosticating and making a theory?
Here's all I got for proof.
Where's the
Trump's
proof?
Mentor, Attorney Cohen, was a master blackmailer.
Yes, he was a scuzzbucket as well.
Trump, you know, he's got a lot on his ink blotter too. But what he's saying basically is, you try to out me, I've got you all by the short hairs. And that's
but
why.
Where are you going with this, though? I don't get it.
Well, I'm just telling you why I think the Republican Party just rolled over without a fight. Why? They didn't even put up a fight, because he's got something on all the major players. The rest are sycophants.
How do you know that he's got things on all the major players? Where do you get this from, other than, you know, it comes into your head?
What do you think campaign contributions are? How do people like Nancy Pelosi get in excess of $100 million working as a public servant?
Because she's married to a guy with $100 million.
And you think she hasn't gained anything through what I would call legal insider trading?
You see, now this is where we inevitably come. You can't prove your original point, so you branch off and you make it appear that here are similar situations, and if these things hold up in these similar situations, surely you can see how they hold up in this situation. That is an old trick. I'm surprised you're using it.
Well,
you should be able to prove your point.
His mentor was a master blackmailer. I can prove that.
So what?
This is history.
So what? That's his. I'm speaking. You have no proof.
No, just a suggestion as to why everyone.
No. You see, you can't get away with that.
Exactly,
you can't get away with it. It's a suggestion. You have just made a very devastating claim, and about a specific person. And I'm saying,
get some dots.
Prove it.
You know, who does the FBI work for? What did J. Edgar Hoover have on everybody that he had them all so scared?
But we're not talking about the. That's what happens when people don't have the proof. Well,
I believe
if it applied to J. You're being disingenuous. If J. Edgar Hoover, if it applied to him, pardon me for speaking while you're interrupting.
Forgive me.
Okay. If your thesis now becomes, this happened with J. Edgar Hoover, is it not likely that it also is happening with Donald Trump? And people are likely to say, hey, you know, that makes sense. But it is a ruse. It is not a true argument. And you cannot prove it.
Well, I'm not trying to argue anything. I'm trying to suggest that the president owns, as his own personal property, all of the videotapes and files.
No, but again, you go off on another.
Material through the FBI.
Sorry, I can't allow it. I can't allow this discussion, because pointed out to you that you have no proof for the previous point that you made, which is exactly the parallel point that you're making now. You don't have the proof. You don't have
evidence.
Proof.
Have
you don't have citing anybody who offered proof. And that can't work. Sorry, I'm going to have to press the red button on this one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Hey, you trees, how you doing today? You know, it was funny. I was listening to your last caller. And I was listening to the caller before that, Lincoln. And, you know, a name popped up into my head from back in our BAI days that Lincoln, in a way, reminds me of. You remember Monroe?
Sure.
That's who Lincoln reminds me of sometimes, Monroe. I mean, one of the most frustratingest callers that was ever on the air with great attention. But what I had wanted to say in regards to Donald Trump and him taking over the party, the question should become this. What happens to the party if he loses? I mean, to take it over as a winner is one thing, but to take it over as a loser is a whole different story.
Well, he wouldn't want that because the party would not serve his purpose if he loses. It certainly would not. It certainly will strengthen the propensity for a fight within the party against him, because he isn't. If he loses, he would prove that he is not the great God that he says he is, the stable genius. So it will invigorate opposition within the party against him.
Yes. Yeah, so then, if that's the case, wouldn't one who are former members of the party, like the Lincoln Project and other Republicans who have seen the party basically be destroyed by Donald Trump, wish for him not to win? Now, remember, if he doesn't win, he's in a world of trouble. I mean,
he's in a world of trouble. Politics is
in
politics.
New York State.
Politics is politics. People get over some of the worst things in politics in no time because they're practical.
Yeah, but people get over it. But you got to remember something that a lot of people don't realize. He's not a career politician.
No.
You know what I mean? He's a person that came into the political atmosphere maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago in regards to being somewhat of a voice because of that birtherism and because of the nature of the country. He was able to ascend to the position that he had earlier.
He had earlier exposure. His father was very much involved.
But Utrecht, let's be honest. His earliest exposure and what he has been able to achieve, if we're being honest and truthful, he's never supposed to have gotten to the point that he is. I mean, let's be clear on that.
His father, I'm trying to say, he inherited a lot. He was able to capitalize on his father's investment in politics.
No, that's not true in politics. That's not true in this. You're wrong. I have never disagreed with you more. There is a difference between business and politics, Utrecht.
No, there not in New York.
There's a difference.
Not in New York. Business is politics.
No, no, no. This is global, Utrecht. We're not talking about New York. I'm talking.
You cannot, where you have deep real estate interests, and that's where his father started, in real estate. You cannot prevail and profit and thrive in the world of real estate by not being very close to the political establishment and supporting it with your money. His father was that. That's how come his father literally launched the Bantustans in Queens, where only white people could live. And gated communities. That was his father's concept. And using the allotted money that should have gone into building public housing, the whole concept, you can't have these two classes live next to each other. His father was a major force. He was behind the scenes, but a major force in politics. And Donald learned early how politics and money and real estate all go together. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for chiming in. And let's see where we take it tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Bye-bye.